Good evening. I hope we're all online now. It's lovely to be with you tonight. And if you'd like to just look up the passage we're going to read, save turning a bit later. So Philippians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 to 25. Right, it's been a rough week or two, for some worse than others, no doubt. And this evening, I'd just like to try and bring us some thoughts from that passage in Philippians. For those of you who've been around a while, this isn't necessarily new. We looked at this about 6 or 7 years ago. But I think the principles were required at that point when we had this for, a Thursday night. And they're as equally as is relevant today. So just before we start, let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you tonight. Lord, we thank you that we have you as a God who is in control of all things. Lord, we thank you that none of these things are a surprise to you. And yet, Lord, for us, it's hard sometimes to understand and to cope with. Sometimes we wonder what's really going on and we have real fears, some for health, some for finances, Lord, many things that concern us. But Lord, we pray as we come to this passage tonight that you might take away all of those earthly fears and give us a real feeling of closeness to you. Help us to see that in you there is true joy. Lord, we pray for each of those amongst us who are suffering at the moment in whatever way. We pray that we might be drawn closer together through this time. Lord, we pray that, as we've often seen through difficulties, it's the time when people bind together. It's the time when we seek you more. So, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us in this brief time tonight. Lead us through your word. Give us help, we pray, in understanding. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in way of introduction, supposing I write to you, I wish you well, I encourage you with your work, I offer you help and advice with some family issues and generally try to buoy you up. You think, wow, that's great, he must be having a great time to be able to be this positive with me. We come to Philippians and Paul is very encouraging to the people of Philippi. He makes similar encouraging noises to them, but although he is the encourager, he wasn't there laying on a drenched, sun-drenched beach, but he was writing from prison. I remember Pastor Wood saying to us that he heard someone whistling a tune, maybe a hymn, and seemingly full of joy, but all he was doing was sweeping a road. That was my Uncle Tom, and he was full of joy because he was full of his Saviour, even though he was doing what many would have considered a very menial job. When we went to his funeral, it was one of the most joy-filled services I've ever come across. So we can have a major impact on people with the way that we live our lives. Chuck Swindoll, when I used to travel up to Watford and listen to him in the morning, he tells a story of when he was out jogging. He passed a school bus that was doing its rounds. The bus passed him, and just as it was about to stop, it let out a beep, beep, beep on its horn. As the doors opened, he heard the driver encouraging the pupils with a hearty welcome on board, the best bus in town. Please take your seats for the trip of a lifetime to the best school in the country. I'm sure that's an Americanism. I'm sure it wouldn't happen over here. He compared it to his own school bus, where the driver told them, get on quick, sit down and keep quiet. Which driver would you rather have had? Whose attitude to life was more like the Apostle Paul's? Let's not forget that our words and our deeds and our characters especially can have a major effect on how the world sees the church and how it sees our Saviour. So today I want to talk to you about Christian joy. But if you've managed to open your Bibles, and if not, just follow me. You're going to read the first chapter of Philippians up to verse 25, and we relate to mainly those bits, but we'll pick on a few verses going forward in the other chapters as well. So Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offence until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defence of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supplication of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on the flesh, that will mean fruit for my labour. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. But I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and for the joy of faith. And just a few very simple thoughts. And basically, I'll take a verse, I give you a few thoughts on the verse, and then a question for us as a body of believers. And I hope that in this time of difficulty at the moment, this time where many are just shut up indoors, that this might be a real time for you to be feeling more joyful than you did before we start. So in verse 1, Paul writes, to all the saints, and the first heading is joy because the church is inclusive. The Bible talks of Christians turning the world upside down. Of course, we know that it actually turns a sin-affected world the right way up. In so many ways, we see that the Bible and the Christian life challenges world philosophy. More and more, we can see that the Bible and its teaching is totally against virtually everything that's being said in the world at the present time. In this case, it puts together rich and poor, men and women, multiple degree holders and those with no qualifications, old and young, new converts, seasoned Christians, black and white. No other place would have such a mixture of people meeting together and experiencing joy. It's not a club. Only God can provide us with this sort of thing in the church. So it's to all of the saints that he asks that there should be joy. So, well, what are we like? Are we inclusive? And of course, we need to recognise that there are certain things which are in the Word which will tell us that these people are not to be accepted in certain ways. But generally speaking, this is an inclusive group. It's for all people, it's for all ages, it's for all types of people. And therefore, Lord, we just pray that you will make us an inclusive body. And then secondly, we have joy because we have peace. In verse 2, Paul says, grace to you and peace. When we speak of joy, we do not necessarily mean happiness, although sometimes that may be the case. But Paul can speak of peace because in spite of his chains, he really did experience peace and joy. How often have you fretted about something and then come to God in prayer and felt a peace when your only response could be, thank you, Lord? I remember when I had a difficult time at work once and I was really beginning to fret about it. It was a personnel matter. And I went into a meeting having prayed about it and came out, and response as I left that floor of work back to my floor was, thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. I couldn't have believed that there would be a possible solution, but he provided it. How often have you gone into an operation or a tough meeting knowing peace purely because you trusted in the Saviour? And yet I remember the comments from a well-meaning colleague when I had my cancer operation. He said, it's not fair that you should have to suffer this. It shouldn't happen to you. Well, of course, the answer really was, it can happen to anyone. Christians are not protected from illness, but there's a difference in the way that we react to it. The world does not have the same peace as a Christian does. You could not have had a better example than Horatio Spafford, who lost virtually his whole family in that Atlantic voyage, and yet then wrote, when peace like a river. So I ask you, do you thank God for the peace that you can know as a Christian? It really does set you apart, and especially at this time when so many are worried about the impact of the virus, you can personally know that peace and you can know the joy that arises from it. It's not easy, but we have to put our trust in Christ. And then in verse 3, we find joy in remembering our brothers and sisters in the local church. Verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God for every remembrance of you. Well, we may have lots of people who we could say that about, and maybe a few where we could say, I thank God for many remembrances of you. We're fallible human beings. But Paul says, I thank God for every remembrance of you, you Philippian church. Especially at this time, we need to recognize each other's gifts and talents, more so possibly at the moment when we're separated, and to continue supporting one another. It's very difficult when we're not all together to have that same bond of fellowship and friendship together. We thank God for these means of electronic communication, but we'd all say that we'd be glad when we're able to get back together again and meet face to face. Let's remember where that unity comes from. It comes from God. It doesn't come from us. As we said at the start, all of these groups of people wouldn't naturally meet together. If we're expecting unity, then we can only get it when we obey what God says to us and put our trust in him. Let's continue to pray for that unity, and let's pray for Pastor, as he no doubt most of all is feeling cut off from a flock who he can't even see when he's preaching on a Sunday. Lord, we just pray that God will be with us at this time. Give us a remembrance that's good of every single one of our fellow church members, and help us to pray for one another even though we're not together. And then in verse 3 also, he said, making request for you all with joy. How do you feel when you've been away from the church on holiday, maybe for a week or two. Although it's amazing that you can feel at home with other Christians elsewhere, our first joy is to be with our local church. I can recall places where we've been on holiday and we've met up with Christians abroad, and it's quite remarkable that the bond of the Christian faith can mean that you feel comfortable with them right from the first minute of meeting up. But it's not the same as being at home. I used to be quite concerned when I was growing up about peers who used to tell me how many friends they had. Over the years, I've come to realise that many worldly friendships are extremely variable and sometimes dishonest. The deepest friendships are with God's people, and we can thank God for putting us with our group of people that we're with. If Paul felt full of joy for a church miles away, and whilst he was in chains, what of us? So the question really is, will we promise to pray for each other and support each other, and especially at the moment when we're not together? None of us ever experienced this before. None of us probably will experience it again. We didn't expect it to come, but we can only now put our full trust in God and Christ our Saviour, that he'll bring us all through this safely, and that he'll give us that desire to be looking after our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then in verse 18, we hear of joy in the preaching of the gospel. He says in verse 18, "In every way Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice." Like Paul, we believe in the centrality of preaching. We believe that the gospel has the power to change lives. Indeed, we believe that without the gospel, lives which are in a total mess cannot be changed. This is the same as a different worldview again. The worldview is you can make people better educated, you can make people better people, but we know that you can't actually change people without the gospel. So at the moment, let's praise God for the provision of pastor. When we did this talk 6-7 years ago, we were actually bringing this at a point when we had no one as pastor of the church. It was during an interregnum. Let's thank him for giving gifts to some of our own congregation. Let's pray for Mark as he seeks God for his future. And let's give thanks for those retired ministers who were so willing to support us in the past and maybe now are suffering because they're not able to go out and do itinerant preaching as they're restricted to home. Many of them over 70 and not allowed out at all. So let's pray for the gospel generally, for pastor as he preaches, for those retired ministers and for others amongst us and amongst other churches with preaching gifts. The question really is, will we pray for these itinerant ministers, pray for pastor, and then support him in the future, as hopefully soon we can get back together again? Let's experience joy in the preaching of the gospel. And then in verse 25, the last one we read, we see the joy of faith. Paul says in verse 25, "I know that I will remain with you for your joy of faith." So hands up if you've never, it's hard to do because I can't see you, but hands up if you've never had any doubts about Christianity. You've never had your belief shaken by a very confident work colleague or someone at school or a scientific finding that's just come out. Well, as I say, I can't see you, but if you put your hand up, I would remarkably surprised and really wouldn't believe you. We know that in the Christian faith, there will be things that come along which are trying to shake us. The devil is a very real enemy. But what a joy to come back to the word or to hear a sermon when your faith is confirmed. What a joy to see faith worked out in practice within your own life or the life of one of God's children. What a joy to see young converts with all their enthusiasm and to hear their early prayers. Nothing better in a prayer meeting than to hear a new convert who breathes out their first prayer simple maybe, but heartfelt. How joyful is simple young faith. So the question is, will we pledge to be in church as often as possible to have our joy strengthened? Wouldn't it be great if we never wanted to miss a meeting because we were concerned that we would miss seeing what God had done in our midst that week? I can remember sometimes when you've been on holiday and you come back and someone says, "Ah, so-and-so was really touched by the word this week," or "so-and-so was converted," and you wish you'd been there for that meeting. We're cut off at the moment. We can't all meet together. But look, when we get back together, let's make sure that none of us is determined not to be there in case we might miss out on a blessing. And then we move into chapter 2, the joy of togetherness. In chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, Paul says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, being of one accord. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition, conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let everyone esteem others better than himself." Well, I'm sure you've seen various churches where there have been issues. We know even recently that there have been some in our locality, others that we're aware of, where there's been division. And I know when we were young, we just couldn't work out how Christians could possibly fall out with each other. But when you look around the churches where there have been or there currently are problems, isn't it often because someone wants to be dominant? We do not want the values of a church, of a business world, or of a political world to control us in the church. This is not our church, it's Christ's church. The church is about serving and not being served. Let's enjoy each other's company. Let's admire the gifts that God has given to others. When we come to think that it's unfair that someone has been given a role when maybe we'd have liked it, then we really need to look at ourselves and say, was God the one who was asking for that person to take up that role? The church is about Christ. It's about him being the one who's overseeing the church. And we want to know that all of the things that we do are in line with his will. So the question is, are we prepared to let others take roles that we might have liked because we can see that God has blessed others with gifts and talents and gifts that they can do the job with? So, joy. How do we get this joy? I think we just need to look at the spelling of the word itself and put the words or the letters in order. Let's replace J with Jesus, O with others, and Y with yourself. So let's put Jesus first. Let's put others next. And let's put ourselves last. Is that easy? No. But when Jesus is put first, then there's far more joy than putting yourself first. So, in conclusion, are we sure that this is possible? You may say, I often don't feel like being joyful. Paul seemed to command the Philippians to rejoice. Remember the old round, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. There was a Caribbean sounding pop song years and years ago, Be Happy, Don't Worry. It's a worldly sentiment in some ways, but in Christ it is true. You can be happy or joyful. You don't need to worry. You remember the Bible tells us that he looks after the sparrows. He'll certainly look after us. And certainly that's one thing to cling on to at this present time, when we know that there are so many panicking about the world situation. When someone says to you, be happy, when you are sad or even worse, depressed, it will probably make you feel worse or possibly even very cross. Why do we feel that way? because we're not in control of our emotions, to be able to press that happy button. But the true joy of rejoicing is a matter of the will, based on more on logic than emotion. One man who God used in the last century was named Arthur Wood. He said, "We join God the Father in his wonderful love, in his almighty power, in his unchanging grace, in his glory. We joy in God the Son, in his person, in his redemptive work, in his risen life in glory, and in the prospect of his return for his children. We rejoice in God the Holy Spirit, in his indwelling, his illumination, his guidance, his comfort, his abiding presence in our hearts. We rejoice in the triune God, and so we rejoice forevermore." In this time when we are really being shaken, and many, many people are seeing that this is God doing the shaking, Lord, we just pray that you might help us to experience that joy and that peace that passes all understanding. So as we put Jesus first, and as we concentrate on all the blessings of the Trinity, surely it's impossible not to feel joy. So we pray for each of us as we go through this time, that we might know a presence of Jesus that maybe we haven't known for a long, long time, that we might put our trust in him, that we might recognise that God is still in control, and we pray that we might be able to, in the coming days, look forward to meeting up together in the chapel again. Let's just close with prayer. Lord, we know that experiencing this joy is something that Paul has said to us we should, and yet we know that so often we don't feel joyful. Lord, we pray you help us to see that this isn't just emotional, but it is promised by you in your word, and it's requested by you. Lord, we know that we're currently in a situation that none of us have ever seen. So often it might make us frightened, but Lord, we pray that at this present time, especially as we're separated, that Lord, you will be with each individual. We pray you'll be with those who are alone on their own at the moment. Especially we pray for those who are not able to deal with this electronic communication and therefore are more shut off. Lord, we thank you for all of the phone calls that have occurred to keep people in the loop. We thank you that even through this, that there's been considerable encouragement and unity together. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with each one of us. We pray that this vicious bug might soon come to its peak and decline again. We pray you'll keep everyone that we are aware of safe and secure. And Lord, we just pray that as we experience various different things through the internet and through personal phone calls and encouragements to read various passages, Lord, we pray that all of this might keep us buoyed up at this time, and that we might soon be able to meet again together. Lord, bless us all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.